Okay, Henry, I'm going to start a new Bhagavatam story today. So we'll keep track after this. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay. Okay. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15. Text 47. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam Sa Bhagavan Krishna Vrindavana Charat Kvachit Yaya Raman Vite Rajam Kalindim Sakevir Vrita. O King, the Supreme Lord Krishna thus wandered about the Vrindavan area, performing his pastimes. Once surrounded by his boyfriends, he went without Balaram to the Jamuna River. Om Vajanatimarandasya Dhananjana Shalakaya Taksur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Taitanya Manobistam Tapitam Yena Bhutare Swayam Rupa Padamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Vrindavan, and I had the inspiration to change the story. We basically did finish the Dhruva Maharaj story, but I'm here in Vrindavan and I'm lecturing every day, and it's just really going well. And I kind of felt inspired that it'd be good to share with you something that I'm preparing, and it's just really relishable. So let's do that. And it's really an important part of devotional service to hear the pastimes of Krishna. Because what the pastimes of Krishna exemplify in Rasa Vai Saha, the ultimate reality, is a perfect drama. And drama communicates emotion, but the rasa, or the aesthetic of the ultimate reality, is bhakti, and therefore it can perfectly compose to embody, experience, and communicate bhakti. So it's an important part of the spiritual path to hear about Krishna's pastimes. Of course, their value will be in proportion to your surrender. Because, actually, speaking to Mahamuni about this, that what Bhakti Siddhanta and Srila Prabhupada and other great acharyas stressed, that without surrender, inner life, when I mean inner life, which is the smaran of the Krishna's of Krishna's pastimes, with your conception of yourself within them, is just a mental game. It's not composed. The form of the spiritual world is based on the bhava of the spiritual world. Just like Radharani is Mahabhav Swarup, She's the form of an emotion that is to be expressed of love for the pleasure of Krishna. So that's really what's happening. The activities and the forms and the exchanges, you have to really see deeply and feel deeply the... Okay, I had a little sneezing attack. That happens again. Usually they come one after another. Bill's going to come again. Anyway. So, and at the same time, they're not, devoid of philosophical input either. In fact, some of the deepest points are deepest and most relevant points of the philosophy of Krishna's consciousness is expressed through Krishna's pastimes, because they're also, they're meant to make you feel something, and they're also meant to make you understand something. Especially the way Prabhupada presented it, because he understood that if you didn't understand it, you wouldn't feel it. For example, you know, a Mayavadi, an atheist reading Krishna's pastimes, what are they going to feel? Because they don't. Aham sarvasya prabhavam akasavam pavartave iti bhutva bhajanti mam buddha bhavasa. I am the source of the material and spiritual world. The wise who know this engage in my devotional service. The Buddha, the understanding, meets the Baba. That's our philosophy. That's why Sambandhagyan, philosophical knowledge, is called knowledge of relationship for many reasons, but because one reason is that it helps us understand who we are, and it will morph an understanding of who we are, which means an understanding of Krishna, because what we are is a relationship to Krishna. An understanding, it will lead to an understanding what our relationship is with Krishna in a general way will morph into an understanding of our specific relationship. So Sambandhagyan, metaphysical knowledge, the proper understanding of the universe and our relationship in it, will help us ultimately to awaken our identity, our spiritual identity. Anyway, we can start going over the verses. The imagery is very beautiful. So it says, Avam, thus the Supreme Lord wandered, thus referring to, this is chapter 15, at the beginning of chapter 15, it said, Poganda. Krishna is now past his sixth year. And we know that Krishna, to facilitate the love of his devotees, manifests in a form to inspire their particular type of love. A mother is inspired most when their child is a baby. And as I mentioned many times, she tends to keep that vision of needfulness even when the child becomes competent. We know that with Mother Yasoda. She looked into Krishna's mouth and then she prayed and she saw Krishna and all the universe, and she saw that he was God, and she prayed, please cover me from this, because it is disturbing my love, because my flavor of my love is I am the maintainer. And God doesn't need mercy, doesn't need maintenance. That's why when you have a fully eminent vision of the absolute reality in Shantaras, there's not a conception of service, there's just a conception of appreciation, because service is not required. So, Evam, Krishna, that means he was 6 years old. At the age of six, Krishna was given the cows. Before that, in Kumara, Kumara is the age and the form that Krishna manifests to facilitate Vatsalya love or parental love. And now 6 to 10, it's more for his friendship. And Kishore, 11 to 15, is more for the romantic exchanges. So Krishna now, and therefore he wandered about the Vrindavan area performing his pastimes, because before he was six, he was restricted. He can take care of the calves and couldn't, as a young child, go so far from home. Now he's going into the forest. So thus, Evam Sabhagavan Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Krishna, Vrindavan Vanachar, he's wandering around and performing his pastimes. And now once upon a time, they're giving the background, he's surrounded by his friends because Krishna is the center. And when the center is with other people, he's surrounded by them. That indicates their importance and also Krishna's beauty. And also because his parents, in that mood of being protector and maintaining, requested the friends to protect Krishna. People in the spiritual world, the relationships, they value people in relationship to Krishna. A husband has a wife and values the wife in terms of their service to Krishna. I saw that recently. A young man, I think he's 25, newly married, very, very pious. I know him for a while. He's very pious. He's one of the managers here, grew up in Krishna consciousness. And he's really into serving the devotees. And specifically, he has this thing, always, since he was a young child, for senior devotees. Really like some kind of strong samskara. So he's so happy that I came to his house, and what a wonderful meal. Family are from UP, but Rajputs from Rajasthan. They have a particular, it's wonderful when you go to families. I kind of miss this. You know, they have a style of cooking that is passed down in their families. And, you know, very wonderfully cooked things, really. And so he was so happy that his wife was serving the guests and the Prabhupada disciple that came. And he ascribed so much value to his wife in relationship to her service to the devotees. And he treated her very respectfully and nice, but his makeup. His thing is the service of the Vaishnavas. And there's so much value to his wife in relationship to serving the Vaishnavas. So in Vrindavan, the value of people in their relationships is so powerfully their service to Krishna. And in fact, in this pastime later, when Krishna is apparently dies, then life becomes zero. Tapta dukkha sukham, dukkha taptam sukham, it becomes void. Because, and that's what devotion needs. Devotion needs what? You see God, and you're enlivened to service, and you see everything in relationship to the service of God. Without God, then what? Then things no longer have value to you. You have love of God. Without God, they thought Krishna is gone, then the world becomes vacant. Anyway, they... setting, he's surrounded by his friends, he's wandering in the forest, performing his pastime, and he went without Balaram, which is very, very very, very significant, because Rasa Vaisaha, I'm going to use this term, the spiritual world is rasa. It's an exchange of love. That's the ultimate reality. That is what Vyasa saw when Narada chastised him and said that he hadn't sufficiently glorified Krishna. As a presentation of ultimately what the Vedas are about, Vedaischa sarveham eva vedyo, Vedanta vid veda vid eva cha up. So somehow at night you kind of lose your points. Okay, and he addresses him as Rajan, O King, because the rasa or the exchange of love and that ultimate reality, I was mentioning that, that's what the ultimate reality is, this exchange of intent. Oh yeah, Vyasadeva saw this. Mayachitata Pasrayam, when he was chastised by his guru that he has to re-edit the Vedas, and he meditated and engaged his mind and focused on Krishna, and then he saw the ultimate reality of Krishna exchanging with his energies, and he saw the ultimate exchange of Krishna and his energies, is Krishna's exchange with his internal potency. All potency. But he saw, what is that exchange? It's the loving relationship between Krishna and his devotees. So, he's wandering about the forest, performing his pastime, and he says, Rajan, O King, because they're listening to this, and there's so much love for Krishna between Sukadev and Maharaj Prickett that it's very hard for them to tolerate or even hearing. This is like a pastime that it's so horrible. It's so shocking that all Krishna's friends apparently die. And Krishna himself almost apparently died. They affect you. You're hearing that. I remember maybe this is about 20, 30 years ago. I was talking about the Kaliya pastime, and I was doing it at the house of Mahesh Pandit. And I was trying to make this same point, how Shastra, describing the pastimes of Krishna, could have such a profound effect on one emotionally if you really love Krishna. And I gave the example. It was just after the World Trade Tower was taken down, and I said, Mahesh, just like, and if you know Mahesh, she has a wonderful daughter married to Venkata Bhatt and a very pious girl and has so much love for her. I said, just like, what if your daughter was in the World Trade Center with a, you know, something like that? I meant in some, and almost, it cracked his heart just hearing that. That's what love is. So what to speak of the love of Marge Prickett and Sukadeva Goswami explaining about Krishna's pastimes. And Sukadeva, you know, he's not just explaining the pastimes. He has a service and a duty that he has 7 days to enlighten this king. And he has to present the Bhagavatam. And he has to be sensitive to the king's feelings so that the king is in a psychological condition to actually even hear. He says, Rajan, O king, trying to give him courage, and also trying to give himself courage. O king, listen. And also, Rajan means attractive. So in this particular pastime, because Krishna was going to the, he knew he was going to go to the Jamuna River to kill the Kaliya serpent, a maximum amount of his body was already exposed. So Rajan, it means beautiful. He will be Rajan. And Rajan, effulgent, because, again, he knew he was going to go, and he knew that the Bhagapatis would give him jewels, so he wasn't wearing his jewels, but still Rajan, he was effulgent. And he went without Balaram. And this is the internal potency. The internal potency facilitates the pastime. This is Yoga Maya. And the purpose of Yoga Maya is to do whatever necessary to invoke the most love. And therefore, in the pastimes, Krishna and Balaram will even come under Yoga Maya's potency, sometimes being forgetful, buddhata, sometimes being forgetful. Like when Krishna sees the cowherd boys dying, he begins to uncontrollably cry, and he is in distress. He's not aware that he's God and this is Leela. He's complete. At the same time, Mugdatta, Krishna's Sarvagya, simultaneously Sarvagya. At the same time, he knows what is going to happen simultaneously, and why not? I was speaking today in the class that the inconceivability of God is reasonable. It's reasonable that his activities are very difficult to logically comprehend. Example, they're beyond time. Well, because time cannot control God, otherwise God wouldn't be God. But our powerful and so, you know, overwhelming conception of time is that it is supreme. It is supreme when it is God. But the sequential activities of past, present, and future are not above God. So his activities are eternal. They're sequential and they're eternal. It's not like this activity is not happening. It's a different dimension. It's not a dimension of time and space as we know it. Because to be in the spiritual world is a matter of consciousness, not miles. Anyway, it's in Vrindavan. It's just wonderful to speak about Krishna wandering the forest. I say his brother doesn't come because his brother will perform other functions that are required. And if he was there, the Leela would not happen. Therefore, Yoga Maya somehow makes arrangement that Balaram doesn't come. Because it wouldn't happen because he's the older brother. He would never let Krishna climb that tree. Especially on the top branch. It was just, the top branch wasn't a big branch. It was almost like a thin branch, and Krishna used it as a springboard. But Balaram would somehow prevail. And also, we have to understand now that Ishit Cheshtita, now there will be activities of God, of Krishna as God, in terms of his great inconceivable power of killing the demon. And he's swimming in the Kaliya Lake. After he jumped in, he manifested as he was jumping in his Aishwarya Shakti, his power of opulence and power, so that when he crashed into the water, it cascaded to 200 meters around. So there will be some Aishwarya, some power of Krishna demonstrated. And the Acharyas mention this, that in reading the Bhagavatam, there has to be a sufficient mix of Aishwarya, of power, opulence. So now that's what's happening, because we just saw Krishna come back from the forest, and there was an exchange with the gopis, and his mother was feeding him and taking care of him and dressing him and pampering him in ways. And laid him down in their bed, and they went to sleep and dining sumptuously. It was very Madhurya, very sweet, but this Aishwarya is necessary. And there's a nice commentary on a previous verse of this chapter by Madhvacharya, that dasya, the mood of servitude, is the pot in which the liquid of all other rasas can be contained. And dasya is inspired by Aishwarya. So the momentary presentation of Krishna as God does not ruin the spontaneous feelings, it actually facilitates it. Because if you're to experience anything, whether it's the conjugal relation with Krishna, whether it's parental relation, whether it's friendship, you're going to experience anything, you have to have the mood of service. That is the consciousness of Vrindavan. And without that mood of service, you have no entry into these pastimes. Vrindavan, in fact, means service. That's why Kaliya was being kicked out of Vrindavan, because he wasn't there for service. Rather, he was causing a disturbance. So, atagavas chagopascha nidagatapapidita ishchanjalam papastashyat krishnartat vishvadushitam. So at that time, the cows and boys were feeling acute distress from the glaring sun. Afflicted by thirst, they drank the water of the Jamuna River, but it had been contaminated with poison. So it's very interesting that Krishna wants to ban this Kaliya from Vrindavan. But it's so heavy. Even as a manager, sometimes people would do something wrong. And sometimes a manager would ask them not to be in Vrindavan. It's such a heavy thing, no matter how hard they, how bad they've done. And if someone does have to be asked not to come or something like that, then publicly it will have to be obvious why. And Krishna wanted obviously why he had to ban someone. And also the principle is violence is only in self-defense. So Krishna had to show also the example that this type of aggression is last resort. And even in modern day wars, if someone attacks someone else, there'll be in a lot of trouble unless there's just cause. And a lot of times armies or nations that want to attack another nation, be aggressive, first they have to make up something that they were attacked first, or even set up something. I'm not much for conspiracy theories one way or another, but I know that there is a political theory, and I think it may have some truth to it, actually, that there's a political group of people that were in the government during the time of George Bush who were what's called neocons, neoconservatives. And they believe, this is actually their belief, they believed that people, for the prosperity of a country, the people needed to be controlled. This was their theory, and that the government needed as much power as possible. That's why they're neoconservatives, because it's the exact opposite of what real conservatives are. And therefore, in their treatise and the things that they wrote, they say, therefore, we require another Pearl Harbor. In other words, something that gives us justification for war. And people think that perhaps the destruction of the World Trade Towers was an inside job to give them the excuse they wanted to usurp people's freedom and make the government stronger with more power, which is what their philosophy is, and attack other countries. I'm not saying, but I'm just saying that theory, that concept is there. Even through these people, we need another Pearl Harbor, which gave the excuse to enter war. So Krishna also, you know, his pastimes are for everyone. He wants the visible excuse. So what he does is he's wandering the cows around Vrindavan for an extraordinary long time, the cow boyfriends, to increase their thirst to such a degree that they would go to the Jamuna first, because the proper culture is one never takes something, uses something first that's not offered to Krishna. That's love. Love means you see everything for the pleasure of your beloved. And therefore, you only enjoy things that you take as their remnants. The coward boys would never rush ahead. They would wait for Krishna to take water, but by the yoga maya potency, it rains their pastime, and Krishna's just taking them around the forest of Vrindavan. They're grazing until they had Trisha Artha, until they were tormented by thirst. They had to be tormented by thirst. And therefore they went so intensely that they went simultaneously. Otherwise, if one boy went first, he would die. And then the others would see it, and they wouldn't do something, or Krishna went for it. So it's facilitating the pastime. Cow and coward boys were feeling acute distress from the glaring sun. Afflicted by thirst, they drank the water of the Drew River, but it had been contaminated with poison. Bisha Nishambhastalupaspishya Daiva Bhakta Chetasa Nipatu Vyasava Sarve Salivante Kuru Dava Prakshatan Vai Tathabhutan Krishna Yogeshwarishwara Ikshiyamrita Varshinya Swanatam Samjivayava. As soon as they touched the poison waters, all the cows and boys lost their consciousness by the divine power of the Lord and fell lifeless at the water's edge. Well, here are the Kurus, seeing them in such a condition. Lord Krishna, the master of all masters of mystic potency, felt compassion for these devotees who had no Lord other than their life. Thus he immediately brought them back by showering his nectarian glance upon them. So Krishna sees this, and he's mudita, he's forgetful that he's God. And he doesn't feel he can do anything about this. And Krishna begins to cry. And it says, Amrita Varshinya, it's like a shower of nectar. Nectar means Amrita, without death. So it's nectar. It's actually an elixir for life, Krishna. But what is that life? It's not just the tears. It's the love that those tears express and the compassion that those tears express to his devotees. That's what gives life. That's what brought them back to life. Krishna's love. And therefore, this is why temples are so important. Because if you go to a temple, Krishna can see you. Go to one place in Vrindavan where the sadhus live as they lived 500 years ago. And their first arti is about 10:30. They chant all morning. I don't know how it works. But one of their people, one of the few of their people that speaks English, he told me that for them, deity worship is so, going to the Arctic is such a thing in their ashram. No question not going to the Arctic, because it's Krishna's pleasure. You know, in a temple, the pleasure is not just the decoration of the deities or feeding the deities. It's the devotees who come there with love and are at the programs and are offering their bhava through the discipline of music and their love through their folded hands and seeing the deity. So, Amrita Varshinya, the shower of nectar, the glance of Krishna, Krishna's love for you, Krishna's mercy for one. That will, that's what gives life. Because they are Swanatan. In Hindi, I know the term for orphanage is Anatalaya. It is one who has no controller. The concept of controller is more the concept of protector than exploiter. In a proper culture, authority has more the ring of shelter than prison. He felt compassion, and what brought out the Amrita Varshinya, the shower of nectar, it's their Sanatan. Sanatan means their concept that there is no other Lord than him. That full shelter. Just like the wives of the Brahmins. When the wives of the Brahmins finally came to see Krishna, it's described Chakva Asha. They gave up all other hopes. They came to Krishna fully. They gave up all other hopes and desires. And that's darshan, when Krishna sees that heart. I don't go to the Mangal Arati. I have a different program, chanting and writing in the morning, but I try to go, you know, a little bit before midday. And so healthy to go before Krishna and try to offer him your heart. And that's really what bhakti is. Even chanting. What is chanting? It's offering Krishna your heart. It's for the pleasure of Krishna. And what gives Krishna pleasure? It's your heart. And how is your heart expressed? It's expressed through kirtan. It's expressed through your service. And that's the pleasure of Krishna. And what is the mood? Svanata. You are my master. I'm a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me, Krishna. So the scene is they touch this poisonous water and they all lose consciousness by the divam, by the destiny, by the will of Krishna. And it's destiny. It's destiny for Kaliya. His days are numbered. See, we shouldn't cause harm to anyone unless they harm us directly. That's what I was explaining. So Krishna wants to show how evil they are. This whole thing is taking place by divine arrangement. Diva means Krishna's desire. The whole event is Krishna's desire. Because God, Ananda Vaya Visad, he's pleasure, he's enjoying, and this is what he does. Regaining their full consciousness, the cows and boys stood out of the water and began to look at one another in great astonishment. So, this is ultimately what's happening. It's love, and they have friendship to Krishna, and Krishna just saved them. So when they're waking up, they're sharing this experience. It's very important in bhakti to share. That's why Sankirtan is better than kirtan. It gives special feelings of bliss, because in real Sankirtan, with many and done in the proper way, the production of the activity is a group activity. It's not an individual's activity. And therefore, it helps one to transcend the limited I. And it's the limited I, the concept that I am the center, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, which is the obstacle for bhakti coming to our hearts. Bhakti is a consciousness. What's holding back that consciousness? What's holding it back? It's your false ego. I'm the controller and enjoyer. And I want to keep that because I don't trust what God may do is best. I trust that what I can do by my power is the best for me. Okay, I'm starting to fade. Anybody like to say, I mean, when I start to fade, I don't even remember what I'm saying for 1 minute to the next. This is a little past my bedtime. Anybody like to ask a question and say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Just saying hello.
Hi, Bo Gail. Thank you, Gail.
Maharaj, this is Gita Nagar.
Hey,
Hari Bhav.
Can't wait to see you here, really.
Okay, I'm trying to make it.
You're going to make it, you know, and I'll tell you, Vrindavan is such a wonderful place, more than even you were here before. The place is just bursting with kirtans. in every nook and corner. I live here in the Russian building, and they have about 50 to 100 people in a bhakti shop. Anyway, every place, it's wonderful. We'll see you soon.
Okay.
Anybody Hare else like time. To say hello? I will. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna,
Hare
Maharaj.
Krishna, Maharaj. Krishna, Maharaj. Priya.
Okay, thank you. Who else is there?
I don't know if you heard me, Maharaj, Chaitanya Priya.
I heard you, I heard you. Hare Krishna, Chaitanya Priya, thank you. Anybody
thank
else
you.
Like to say hello?
Hare Krishna,
Maharaj, this is Kishori Radha and Priya.
Hi, Bo, see you soon. We'll see you soon. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. There's others there, but I'll just got to take rest now. Thank you. I will. Thank you for that.